John chapter 8, 31 to 59. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come from on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, and for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honour my Father and you dishonour me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this they explained, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died and so did the prophets. Yet you say whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "Very truly," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple guards.
Good morning, my name is Curtis. I'm part of the preaching group here at WEC. Definitely keep your Bibles open. We're going to be referring to them often. I'll be reading from different parts of the passage as we go. If this is your first time here, today we're going to be jumping back into John's Gospel. Where we've seen that so far in John's Gospel, we've seen that Jesus is the Word of God. Whoever believes in him can be saved. We saw him turn water into wine. He healed a disabled man, fed 5,000, walked on water. And today we're going to hear that Jesus has the power to set us free. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Lord, you are a merciful and great and powerful God. Lord, show us today who we are. Lord, show us what Jesus has done for us and show us who you are. Amen. In Russia, in the 1800s, serfs were farm workers. Serfs were a type of slave, but instead of being tied to a person, they were tied to the land. They would belong to the owner of the land, but only while that person owned the land. In 1861, Tsar Alexander set all the serfs free from their bondage. On the screen, you can see Leo Tolstoy, and the serfs on his land could have been free 6 years earlier. He offered to set his serfs free and even offered to sell them the land that they lived on, which was a much better deal than what they eventually got. But they didn't trust him. They thought he wasn't telling them the truth. So they continued in their slavery for another 6 years. Slaves when they could have been free. Do you think of yourself as a slave? Jesus' audience didn't think they were slaves. Let's pick up today's passage from verse 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we'll be set free?" Now notice that the Jews aren't focused here on what the truth is. Notice they say, "We have never been slaves of anyone." They don't want to find out about the truth. They immediately go on the defensive. They don't need to be set free because they already are free. They have no slave master. And I'm sure if you and I walk down Baylor Street later on today, telling people that they can be set free from their slavery, they would think to themselves that they've never been slaves. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, what does Jesus mean? We aren't slaves. But in verse 34, Jesus tells the Jews that they do have a master. He says, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever." Now, just before we go on to what it means to be a slave to sin, I just want to take a quick pause to look at the beginning of verse 34. You'll see that it says, "very truly." Or if you're reading from the ESV, it says, "truly, truly." It's always helpful to look for repetition in the Bible when we're trying to understand things. And in our passage, if you take a quick look, you can see it in verse 34, verse 51 and verse 58. Now, when Tim finished praying earlier, everyone said amen. And amen means something like it is true or may it be true. It kind of comes, it's from a Hebrew word through a Greek word and then to our English word. And it means it is true or may it be true, and we use it to show agreement with what has been prayed. And that's how Peter and Paul would use it, and that's how everyone else that we know of 2,000 years ago would use it. Except for one person, Jesus. Jesus is the only person we know to use amen at the beginning of a sentence. And John's gospel is the only place that records him saying it twice at the beginning of a sentence. And that's why the ESV translates it as truly, truly. Well, you say, that's all very interesting, but what about it? Jesus is using it to stress his divine authority. He is the one who speaks the truth, truly, truly. And secondly, it tells us this bit's really important. Listen carefully. Truly, truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Sin is the master. Well, there's many addictive things in the world. People become addicted to alcohol and drugs or gambling and pornography. And if you try to give these things up, you feel a certain pull towards them. I even gave up sugar for a week, and every time I'd walk past a packet of Tim Tams, I just wanted to eat the whole pack. But what's the most addictive thing in the world? It's sin. Sin is the most addictive thing. Everyone's doing it. If you don't believe me, try not sinning for a week. So here's a little experiment for us to try. Now, obviously, completely loving out all of our enemies all of the time, living a completely sin-free life, that's going to be tough. So I'll give you a super easy. Just one sin with one person. And the one person's not your enemy, but someone who you hopefully have a moderate amount of affection for. So shall we give it a go? For 1 week, try to avoid keeping a record of wrongs with someone that you live with. When your flatmate uses your things, when your child argues with you, when your spouse doesn't listen, don't record any of it against them. And next week, let me know how you go. Sin is a master. We try not to, we don't want to, but we can't seem to escape it. Sin masters us. But what type of master is sin? Sin is a cruel master, one that tears us down. Sin looks pleasant on the outside, but actually makes us unhappy, makes our life worse, and makes the lives of those around us worse. Jesus says the devil is the father of lies. Take a look there in verse 42. If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Did you pick it up? He says there's no truth in him. He's a liar and the father of lies. Sin looks pleasant, but it is a lie. Gossiping feels good at the time, but results in people that don't trust each other. Selfishness gives us immediate gratification, but it affects our relationships. Hating our enemies causes us more pain than the one that we hate. But Jesus offers us freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from what tears us down, freedom from what tears down others. freedom from the tyranny of sin, a freedom that turns slaves into sons and those of the household of the devil into eternal members of the household of the Father. John Stott calls it freedom from the bondage of self. We need freedom from the bondage to our sinful nature, freedom from my own self-centeredness. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. But can we be set free? Well, Jesus says that the truth will set us free. Let's go back to verse 31. He's speaking with the Jews who believed in him, and he says, "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus is saying that we can be set free from sin. If we hold to his teaching, we'll know the truth. Now, you might think of this as a parent telling their child to tell the truth. Telling the truth will set you free. That's what they say to their kids. That's good advice. And telling the truth will free you from the guilt of lying. Or you might think of this as, it's better that someone tells you the truth rather than sugarcoat things for you. Knowing the truth will set you free. Again, good advice, and the wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of a snake. But these aren't what Jesus is driving at. Jesus says, if you hold on to my teaching, so his teaching is the truth. We can read the Gospels and see the truth, and it will set us free. He talks about being his disciples. If you follow Jesus and apply what he says, it will set you free. Jesus calls himself the truth. He says, "I am the truth." Jesus himself is the truth, and he himself will set us free. And how will he do it? He'll die a slave's death on a cross in our place to set us free. So the truth brings freedom from sin. But freedom for what? Freedom just to do whatever we want? If someone goes to jail and they've served their sentence, they've served their time, and they get their freedom back, that's not a freedom to do just whatever they like, to go back to stealing things again. It's a freedom to live a good life, to do honest work, build relationships, and be a valuable member of society. The prisoner and us are set free for something. Truth brings freedom to be my true self, no longer weighed down by my sinful nature. Like actually what we saw with Dan with the backpack on. Freedom to genuinely care about others. Freedom to know the truth about evil and the truth about goodness. Freedom to know God. Freedom to be a new person, to live a new life. Because sin and being a Christian don't go together. And so we should try to order our lives to be aware of the influence of falsehood and expose ourselves to goodness. How many hours do we spend on social media, on Netflix, or watching sport compared to exposing our things to things which are noble, lovely, and good? Sin has no place in the life of a free person. Secondly, we're set free for joy. When Peter and John healed a man crippled from birth, do you remember in Acts? Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." And do you remember what the man did? He didn't just walk. If you go back and read it later, you'll see that he goes around leaping with joy and praising God because he's set free. Thirdly, we're set free for service. Peter's mother-in-law was a good example of this. Do you remember Jesus heals her And she got up and she immediately started serving Jesus and the disciples. Unlike sin that hurts us and hurts others, serving God blesses us and others. It's like the old saying, chopping wood warms you twice. Or as Shakespeare put it, mercy is twice blessed. It blesses him that gives and him that takes. So, freedom is a wonderful thing. We should all want it. But who has the power to set us free from the bondage? The Son does. We saw in verse 35, it says, the Son remains in the house. The Son has the power to set slaves free. In verse 51, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. At this they exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Notice there that Jesus says it is possible to never taste death. Who is our real greatest enemy? Is it those around us? Our real greatest enemy in this life is death, where we are inescapably separated from those we love. Wouldn't it be amazing to never taste death, to be able to see our loved ones again and to be able to live a new life in perfect relationship with God? Jesus says that we can if we keep his word. But what does it mean to keep his word? It means to follow his message of loving God and loving others. But it also means to follow Jesus himself. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How are you going with following Jesus? If you don't know him, maybe it's time that you found out more about him. See for yourself if he really does speak the truth. We saw Jesus seriously put up on the screen earlier. And if you don't know Jesus and you want to know more about him, then speak to Tim or Dave or one of the pastors. Well, what if you are a follower of Jesus? Are you reading his word? How can you make it a habit? I was just talking to someone in the break before, and they said they were reading the Bible in the mornings and going to the gym, but they just found that they were rushed in reading their Bible, so they thought, I'm going to go to the gym in the afternoon now when I can, so that I can focus on the Bible reading in the morning, which I was really encouraged by, actually. For me, I put the Bible on the coffee table in the morning so that when I have my cup of tea, I go and make my cup of tea, sit down, my Bible's there, ready to go. And in the past, I read the Bible at night time, so I just put it on my bedside table, so it's all just there, ready to go. So I try to change my environment to make things easy for me so that I'm relying less on my own willpower. Make the good habits easy and the bad habits hard. Well, the Jews reply to Jesus and they ask, how can you pronounce that someone can never taste death if you keep your word, Jesus? They say, are you pretending that you're greater than Abraham? Well, let's take a look at Jesus' reply in verse 54. Take a look in your Bible. If you've got a Bible and the person next to you doesn't, share it with them. Jesus says, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, they said to him, and you have seen Abraham? "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him. Here Jesus is indeed making himself out to be greater than Abraham. But what's that ending? What's this finishing with, "I am"? I am what? Did John the writer, did he just leave a bit out? Take a look at the sentence. He begins another time with "truly, truly," or "very truly." So this is important. And then he says, "before Abraham was," before Abraham existed, before Abraham was born, "I am." I am what? What is Jesus saying here? And why, as soon as he says this, do the Jews pick up stones to throw at him? That's a weird thing, that they want to kill him after he says this. Well, let's go back. Let's go way back to Exodus. This is from Exodus 3. And you remember that God is speaking to Moses from the burning bush. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." Jesus hasn't misspoken. John hasn't left anything out. Jesus is calling himself God, the unchanging one, the creator of all things. And the Jews know it. And that's why they pick up stones to kill him, because they know he's equating himself with God himself. So how can we be set free from our sin? How can the truth set us free? Because Jesus has the power to set us free. Well, the Russian serfs were offered freedom, but they didn't take it. Jesus has put the offer on the table to you and I. Are we going to trust him? Let's pray. Lord, you are perfectly trustworthy. You are the truth. You are the word of God. Lord, help us to completely put our trust in you. Thank you that you give us great freedom, freedom for joy and service to you, and help us to know and follow your word. Amen.